Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Mark. From the second chapter, we'll begin at verse 23 and read through Mark 3, verse 6. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1428. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Mark 2:23. Now it happened that Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" But Jesus said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest, and also gave some to those who were with him?" And Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." And Jesus entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether Jesus would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And Jesus said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." Then Jesus said to them, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they kept silent. And when Jesus had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against Jesus, how they might destroy him. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. A semicircle of medical students looked at the x-ray. The chief radiologist asked, "What is your diagnosis?" There was silence. The chest x-ray didn't show any breaks or lumps or growths. It looked perfectly normal. The radiologist prodded, "Do you see anything unusual?" The students leaned in and they looked again and they glanced at one another, but no one had an answer. The radiologist said, "The doctor in the emergency room and two radiologists agree, nothing irregular." After a pause, he continued, "I called the patient and told her, I think she has cancer." The stunned students looked at the radiologist. He asked, "Where is the left clavicle?" The collarbone was missing. "I think it has been eaten by cancer." Dr. Matthew Sleeth was one of the resident medical students. He tells the story in his book, 24-6, A Prescription for a Healthier, Happier Life. He writes, "It's hard to see what is missing. What is missing does matter. Missing from most Americans' lives is a day of rest. An absence of a weekly day of rest adds up to 52 days a year, 11 years in an average lifespan." The first book of the Bible, Genesis, begins with God speaking the universe into existence. And after each day was formed, the Lord God said, "Good." When you and I were formed, the Lord said, "Very good." Yet when the Sabbath was created, the Lord God whispered, "Holy." Genesis 2, 1 through 3 says, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work and he rested. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all of his work which God had created." God doesn't rest because labor isn't good. God rests because it is holy to pause. "Be still and know that I am God." For 40 years, God cared for the Israelites on the way to the Promised Land. A few months into the trip, Moses climbed Mount Sinai to talk with the Creator. During the journey, God gives 613 laws. On Mount Sinai, God engraves the top 10. Number 4, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." It's the most detailed and the longest of the Ten Commandments. It speaks equally to men and women. It's made to protect those who believe and those who do not. It is to be followed by humanity and even observed by God. It's the only one of the ten that God said, remember. God knew that we would need a reminder to take a day of rest. God helped them to put the commandment into practice. As their daily bread, God gave them manna to gather each morning. It was a fine white substance which was left lying on the ground when the morning dew lifted. God said, gather every morning. Now on the sixth morning, gather twice as much because there will be none on the seventh. This is the Sabbath. The word Sabbath means to cease from doing. It means to stop, to rest. In 2000, I went before the District Board of Ordained Ministry for an interview as a part of the process to receive my license as a pastor. One of the questions they asked me was, do you have a problem with any of Wesley's general rules? More confident than I should have been, I briefly paused, shook my head, and said no. Later, my conscience prompted me to think, I should have asked them, how serious are you about that buying and selling on Sunday? Jesus was in a conversation with the Pharisees who were very serious about the Sabbath. Almost as soon as God published the law, people tried to get around it. So rabbis started adding rules to try to strengthen the law. In their minds, picking a few seeds of grain was work. As Jesus and the disciples went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, the hungry disciples plucked the heads of grain. No one accused them of stealing. One of those 613 laws included not harvesting your fields all the way to the edges. You were to leave some food for strangers who were traveling through and for widows and orphans. The Pharisees confronted Jesus. Look, why did they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Jesus had a way of talking to people in a way that related to their way of thinking. The Pharisees were students of Scripture. So Jesus said, have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry and those that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful for any to eat except the priest. And he also gave some to those who were with him. This was during a time when David was fleeing from King Saul, Israel's first king. Saul had disobeyed God. Thus God had the prophet Samuel to anoint David as the future king. David was loved by the people, Saul's own family, and by God. Saul's son Jonathan, David's good friend, warned David to flee because his father was trying to kill him. On the run, David and his band of warriors became hungry. At the tabernacle, David asked the priest for 5 loaves of bread. The priest said, there's no common bread, only holy bread. Leviticus 24 informs us that every Sabbath, 12 loaves of unleavened bread, representing the 12 tribes of Israel, were placed on the sanctuary table. The old holy bread was eaten only by the priest. David reasoned with the priest. He said that his men had not been defiled, thus they were holy, and that the old bread was in effect common now, even though it had been consecrated. The priest gave David the bread. David became Israel's greatest king, and God promised him an everlasting kingdom. Jesus said, remember that story? Jesus went on to say, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. In Dr. Sleeth's book, there's the story of Dr. Simpson and Mike. As I tell this story, it's a tad disconcerting to know that such discussions are happening while we're on the operating table. Dr. Simpson, the surgery for a heart bypass, was noted for grilling residency students. The questions were more about tripping them up than about teaching. He also frequently pointed out that the removal of Adam's rib is proof that God is a thoracic surgeon. Well, while they were quietly scrubbing, Mike, the oldest member of Sleeth's medical school class, strolled into the OR. He said, good morning, how's everybody today? Well, Dr. Simpson sneered. Now that we've got a doctor, we can begin. Great, Mike replied, and he took his place behind Simpson and looked on. Well, Simpson launched into his cross-examination of Mike. Can you tell us the first medical procedure? Mike answered, people think it was thoracic surgery because of Adam's rib. But the first thing God did was cause Adam to go into a deep sleep. So the first medical procedure was anesthesia. Lucky for Adam. The room was silent while Simpson concentrated on the surgery. But as they were closing, Simpson resumed his interrogation. As Mike answered every question correctly, the questions became more and more obscure. Mike answered a question to which Simpson smugly responded, "Wrong, doctor." He corrected Mike's answer. Mike cleared his throat and with firmness explained with more detail, but he stood by his answer. Simpson countered, "I suggest that you scrub out and go look it up in O'Brien's Anatomy, then come back and enlighten us." Mike shrugged and he walked toward the OR doors. At the same time, the head of anesthesia strolled in to check on his residents. Nearly bumping into Mike, he said, "Professor O'Brien, you're slumming." Mike responded, "Just healing the people." Even hidden behind a surgical mask, it was obvious that Simpson's mouth dropped. Seems he had heard that Professor Mike O'Brien, who wrote the book Anatomy, had entered medical school to become a surgeon. Dr. Simpson referred him to his own book. The Pharisees were talking to the author of the book. As was his custom, Jesus went into the synagogue. A man was there who had a withered hand. The Pharisees watched Jesus closely to see whether he would heal the man. Jesus said to the man, "Step forward." Jesus asked the Pharisees a question. "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil? To save life or to kill?" They kept silent. Jesus looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their heart. He said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." The man stretched out his hand, and it was restored as whole as the other. The Pharisees went out and they plotted with the Herodians against Jesus, how they might destroy Jesus. The Herodians were a Jewish political party. They were in support of Rome, and they took their name from Herod Antipas. On nearly every issue, the Pharisees and the Herodians opposed each other. Maybe for different reasons, but on the issue of destroying Jesus, they were in agreement and joined forces. As we know, even death on a cross couldn't destroy Jesus. The first Christians were Jews. They continued to observe the Sabbath, which went from Friday evening until Saturday evening. They also gathered together on Sunday, maybe before their work early, or more probably after their work. It was on the first day of the week when the Lord was raised from the dead, Resurrection Sunday. As more Gentiles became believers and weren't required to observe Jewish laws, such as the Saturday day of rest, Sunday became the day of worship. Under Roman Emperor Constantine in the 300s, Christianity became the state religion. Sunday became Sabbath, not legally binding, but morally binding for Christians. For centuries, Christians chose to have Sunday as a day of worship and rest. It was that way for a couple of hundred years in the United States, but things began to change. In 24:6, Dr. Sleeth writes about how the law got subtracted. We adopted a 24/7 lifestyle. Many factors contributed. Of course, electrical power, technology, travel, sports, consumerism, working parents, and a demand for more retail and business hours. Interestingly, some secular sections of the world are better than the church about keeping Sabbath, such as no court on Sunday and Wall Street doesn't trade. Saturday and Sunday became the weekend. We work hard and we play hard. Now, those businesses that close on Sunday, such as Chick-fil-A or Hobby Lobby or Carpinetti's, they stand out because they are unusual. Now, some of us lament that things aren't closed on Sunday, like a forced rest of yesteryear. Other times, we celebrate, like Kentucky Fried Chicken cooking our food for our picnic. How do we view the Sabbath? As always, we look to Jesus. Three things stand out to me. Rest. Jesus looked back at the reason for Sabbath. We take a day of rest. Like the God in whose image we are made, the Sabbath was a benefit, not a burden. We cease our labor to reflect on our accomplishments and to refresh ourselves, body, soul, and spirit. We need a holy day to align ourselves. Worship. Jesus observed the Sabbath with worship. He went to synagogue to gather with others for reading of scripture, prayer, and singing of psalms. He also withdrew for private time with God. And then doing good. Jesus kept the Sabbath holy by doing good and saving lives. Jesus had compassion on others. He saw people and he cared about them and their lives. He defended his hungry disciples for plucking grain. He healed a man's withered hand. The wise will remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. It's a day to worship, a day to rest, and a day to do good. Whatever day it is, we delight in God and God's world. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for giving us the Sabbath. Help us to have a rhythm of rest in each day and week. May we rest, worship, and do good. In Jesus' name, amen.